Elizabeth turned away from Dale's door. A faint sound from below caught her ear. She leaned over the banister rail. "Tom?" Silence. She descended the stairs and went into the kitchen. Dale, in a navy blue blazer and sharply pressed jeans, was standing by the table, reading Tom's post. "Dale!" Dale looked up, smiling. She didn't put the letter in her hand down. She looked absolutely at ease. "How did you get in?" "I didn't hear the bell." "Key, of course," Dale said. She produced a couple of keys on a red ribbon. "My keys." Elizabeth swallowed. "Do you often do that?" Dale was still smiling, still holding a letter of Tom's in her other hand. "What?" "Let yourself in." Dale said, laughing, "When I need to. This is my home, after all." Elizabeth went over to the kettle. "Would you like some tea?" "There isn't any. I've looked." Elizabeth said quietly, "I bought some lapsang this morning." Dale looked surprised. "Where is it?" "Here." "Oh, but tea doesn't live there. It lives in that cupboard by the coffee." Dale put the letter down. "I see Dad's got across the planning boys again." Elizabeth opened her mouth to say, "Should you be reading your father's correspondence?" and closed it again. "Is Dad out?" "A site meeting." "The thing is," Dale said in a confidential tone, "I rather want to ask him about something. I want to move. I want another flat." "There's my house." Dale smiled. "That's really sweet of you. But it's a bit permanent for me, a house. Don't you want to feel permanent?" "Not till I've got somebody to be permanent with. I thought, you see..." "I know. I'm so sorry." "Dad's been so supportive. And Lucas. Have you met Lucas?" "Not yet. We're having lunch with him and Amy tomorrow." Dale's face changed. "Oh, I didn't know." "Why didn't you come?" "Why didn't Dad say?" "I don't know. I spoke to him yesterday. Why didn't he say?" The smiling composure had gone. "My dear, I don't know, but come along. Come along and join us." Dale retrieved a smile. "Yes. Yes, of course I will. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll just go and fossick about upstairs for some things I need." By the door, she looked back over her shoulder. Her voice was very kind. "Make yourself comfortable," she said. "But this is the third time," Claire's form teacher said. "The third time this week. You've said you couldn't do your homework. Claire, you must do your homework. Not because I say so, but so I can see you understand what you've been taught in class." Claire nodded. She felt in the face of such a reasonable explanation that she must be truthful in reply. "But I can't."
"What do you mean?"
"When I get home, I can't do anything." The teacher regarded her. She looked tired, but then so many of the kids looked tired.
"Maybe I should talk to your mother."
"No," Claire said.
"Why not?"
Claire said, quoting Nadine, "We've got to make a go of it."
"Because," the teacher said delicately, "you're on your own." Claire nodded again. "I see," the teacher said. "Well then, I'd better talk to someone else."
Claire looked up at her with a gleam of hope. "My dad," she said.
"That's the fifth time," Tim Huntley said. He stood in Nadine's kitchen. Beyond him, with a rip in his black school blazer, stood Rory.
"I'm sorry," Nadine said.
"A farm isn't a play place."
Tim looked from Nadine to Rory.
"It's not just the machines, it's the poison. You're lucky I didn't turn the gun on you."
Rory mumbled. "I wasn't doing anything."
"You were there," Tim said, "without my knowledge or permission."
"Sorry."
"I should think so. Why weren't you at school anyway?"
He looked at Nadine.
She was trembling slightly. I thought he was. I don't like it, Rory said. It's boring.
That's no excuse, Tim said. It's the law you've got to go to school, and it's the law you have to stay there.
Nadine glanced at Rory. Are you being bullied?
He shook his head. You got homework? Tim asked.
Rory nodded.
Why don't you go and do it then, while I have a word with your mum?
Rory went out of the room, letting the door bang behind him. They heard him begin to climb the steps, his tread slow and unsteady, like the tread of someone much older than 12. Tim looked at Nadine.
We've been discussing you, mum and me.
Oh?
You're not coping, are you?
If it's any business of yours.
We're neighbours, Tim said. This is the country, not some bloody town where you could drop dead and nobody'd notice.
Nadine said nothing.
You know what's going on, don't you? Tim said.
About what?
Your kids. It's not just the boy, it's the girls, too. Little 'un looks half-starved, and the big one's playing around with one of them Bailey boys.
Who? Nadine said tightly. Are the Baileys?
You wouldn't want to know. They're a load of trouble. You don't want your girl mixed up with the Baileys.
Becky is in the sitting room, Nadine said, doing her homework. I take her to school every day. I collect her every day. I know where she is all the time.
You don't know what she's doing at school. And you can't keep her shut in forever.
Nadine bent her head over the table.
Go away. Look.
Tim Huntley leaned forward. Don't shout, because I'm not going. I haven't come to interfere. I've come to help you stop something before it starts. If I find your boy in my yard again, without my permission, I'm calling the Razzas. Nadine stared at him aghast.
You wouldn't!
I would.
It's no help to anyone to be allowed to run wild.
Nadine said unsteadily, We've had a bad time. We got thrown out, or at least that's what it amounted to.
Sorry, Tim said. It's what happens now that counts.
Nadine swallowed. I don't know what happens now.
You shouldn't live alone.
You look to me as if you've had a bit of a breakdown.
You should live with other people.
Maybe that commune place over towards Hay. Art and stuff. He hesitated a moment. Their dad's a head teacher, isn't he? The lad said, Deputy, Nadine said with contempt.
Maybe, Tim said, you should let their dad take his turn for a while.
Matthew sat by the telephone in the sitting room. He needed time to think. Nadine had been crying and crying, and through the crying accusing him of all the things she'd always accused him of.
There's no point in this, Matthew said, disgusted.
There is! There is!
Then tell me. Cut the abuse and tell me.
He heard her blowing her nose violently. Then she said, They're coming to you.
What?
They're in trouble. They're playing... No.
Tomorrow?
I'll call you from school. Okay, she said. In case his rejoicing betrayed itself, he said briefly, Till tomorrow, then. Bye. And put the phone down. His children back. His children home again. To see them as he hadn't seen them for almost 18 months, in the precious, trivial course of ordinary, daily, dull family life.
Thank you, he said silently. Thank you.
He opened his eyes. He could hear Josie clattering in the kitchen. The first radiance of relief and happiness dimmed. It was no good hoping Josie would share it. She might be horrified. She might even refuse. Matthew opened the kitchen door. Josie? She turned, her hands were dripping with suds. What's happened?
Some kind of crisis.
The children?
Yes.
Josie wiped her hands on a tea towel. In trouble?
Yes.
She looked at him. His eyes were alight. A small, cold dread settled heavily in the pit of her stomach. Honey, she can't cope. She's sending them here.
Here? Josie said. To live?
Yes, here. With us. He put his nose tip to tip with hers. He couldn't help smiling. Is that okay? She closed her eyes for a moment and then said, in a hard, bright voice that neither of them recognized as hers,
of course.
She's nice, Lucas said. He was sitting with Dale in a wine bar, got up to look like a Spanish bodega.
I know, Dale said.
Lucas gave her a long look. His sister had been very in charge when they'd all had lunch together in that restaurant. Very much Tom's daughter playing the hostess. Amy hadn't liked it. She said on the way home from that lunch that anybody would think Dale was Tom's wife the way she was going on.
Dad doesn't take any notice, Lucas said. Well, he doesn't protest, if that's what you mean. He just lets it happen. It's what men always do when they don't know what to do. They just roll over and play dead.
Playing dead or not, Lucas had thought his father looked really happy. He'd looked at Elizabeth with a kind of profound contentment. It had unsettled Lucas a bit. Not because he minded his father's happiness, but because it wasn't what he felt when he looked at Amy. Well, not any more.
Luke, Dale said now.
Yes.
Suppose she has a baby.
Lucas shut his eyes.
Why do you do this?
Do what?
Build bridges you may never have to cross.
She's 38.
So?
People have babies forever now.
Does it matter?
Yes, Dale said. She picked up her wine glass. We've been through all that. We've seen all that with Josie and Rufus. We've seen what's really ours being shared out beyond us.